Hello Africa, this is Let's Talk. It's a show where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari in Washington. Tonight, holidays in Africa.
The food may not be enough, but there will be excess alcohol.
Oh, okay.
You will drink and
you
drink
until
and drink.
You're dead down exactly. On the floor.
It's a big deal. I mean, you have to have new clothes, new shoes. Everything has to be new.
Well, as we all know, holidays or holiday season has a lot of festivities going on in Africa, from you name it. End of the year, New Year's is coming, we have Christmas, we have Eid, El Fitr, El Hajj, a lot of festivities happening in Africa. Now, tonight, I want to explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner, so please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show the only lady in the room. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Oren Isis Itangishaka.
Thank you, Sunday. Happy to be back.
Sure, Oren Itangishaka. And also in the house, Nabil Biagio.
Yep.
Welcome
aboard.
Glad
to be here.
Sure. And for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one and only Harrison Kamau, a.k.a. Super Harry.
It's my pleasure.
I do understand when we talk about holidays and holiday season in Africa, you have a whole range of festivities. And usually families in Africa spend time cooking, spend time drinking, spend time eating together, and spend time dancing music. So it's just like the whole ball is rolling. I spoke to my colleague Yemi Obajemi, and I wanted to know his take about holidays in Africa.
Well, holidays in Nigeria are very, very festive. No matter what the holiday is, Nigerians, you know, love to party and have fun and relax. So any holiday is taken pretty seriously. Take, for example, Christmas. Once it starts getting closer to Christmas, you know, the mood is different. And you also have to consider the religious aspects as well. So everybody has a tradition that they follow during holidays. And usually it starts with prayer. So mosque, church, and then after that, I think a lot of people don't feel complete if they don't go to like church or mosque to start off with. Right. It has to start with a prayer.
Right.
Whatever shenanigans you're about to do needs to start with prayer. You know? So after the prayer, then you can...
Things start rolling.
Eat, yeah? Drink, and be merry, as they say.
What is that? Repeat again.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Yes.
What is be merry?
As the Lord has ordered.
Whoa. So, I mean, there's so much ambiance going on.
Right? Yeah, you know, and the good thing is, no matter what holiday it is, Christmas, Eid al-Fitr, anyone, Muslim, Christian holiday,
yeah,
you'd usually find neighbors sharing food.
So it doesn't matter, you know, find, well, Christians and Muslims celebrating at the same time.
Yes. I remember I used to always look out for the Muslim holidays because our neighbors used to...
Because your neighbors
are Muslim. Our neighbors used to bring us food.
And so you're a Christian, but you're looking forward for a Muslim holiday.
Yes. You know, if the neighbors were, you could smell the food from downstairs.
Wow.
You know, sometimes if it was a good year for the family, they would bring you raw meat. You know, like a lot of meat you would buy in the market for good money. They would, you know, they'd bring you some
after slaughtering a whole sheep.
Exactly, after slaughtering a whole ram or cow or whatnot. So it's a party all year round. You know, Christians celebrate. You know, Muslims partake. Muslims celebrate. Christians partake. It's party all year round. I love it.
And I say, and I know people love it, you know, the food, because celebration without food, hey, that's not a celebration.
No, that's not a celebration. You know, a friend of mine who just left for Nigeria was reminding me about, well, he wasn't reminding, he was telling me because I hadn't noticed, but he was saying how you can tell what kind of party you're in depending on the amount of food you're served.
Is that right?
Yeah, he said if you go to a Yoruba person's party, these are the people where I'm from, the western side.
Yeah,
the food never ends.
Okay.
There's always food, you know.
Keeps coming.
The food keeps coming.
Wow.
Now, if you go to the Igbo, Igbo parties, which are the guys from the eastern side, the food may not be enough, but there will be excess alcohol.
Oh, okay.
You will drink and
until you're dead down.
Exactly.
On the floor.
Now, the northerners, I think he said with the northerners, it's music. And not just like, you know, party music, like traditional music.
Oh, okay.
This they just continue to play traditional music and it never stops. Oh, and they go all night till the next morning.
Till the next day?
They keep going. The music keeps going.
Thank you, Yemi Obajemi. Back to you guys. With your experience, or an ISIS, of course, you're the only lady in the room, so we'll give you the first step to be the first to talk.
Ladies first, right?
Sure.
How have you been celebrating these festivities in holiday season in Africa during the days in Burundi, if you remember, and again after coming to America with your African families out here?
Right. I mean, if I can think back maybe 20 years ago,
Wow, 20 years ago?
I mean, I've been...
Are you that old?
Wow.
Let's just say I've been in the U.S. for 18 years.
Wow.
So if I say Africa, you know, I say Africa, that means at least 20 years ago. But I mean, I'm an African at heart for sure. 20 years ago, celebrating this Christmas and all these other holidays in Africa, it's just a very big deal. It's a big deal. I mean, you have to have new clothes, new shoes. Everything has to be new and, you know. And people, the whole town is just, you know, is just boiling, you know, with, you know, a lot of music and, you know, people, you know, food. And I mean, you just can tell that the season is changing because even if the neighbor blasts the music, you don't mind. It can go on for like 2-3 days and that's just accepted.
And it's okay for the whole entire street that people are having fun.
Oh, man, you actually just, you want it because that's what says the season is here.
Mm-hmm.
What I remember most was the food. Oh, my God. Whether it was a Muslim feast, whether it was a Christian feast, where's the party at? You know,
the whole goat is taken care of.
Yeah, I just remember the food part. In Africa, I just remember the food part. I mean, people just, I can smell the pilau rice.
The pilau,
and the goat meat, you know. The neighbor was cooking and you just wanted to know where's the next party at. So, I mean, as a child growing up in Africa, I remember like it was yesterday. Party and holiday seasons were a big deal. So coming here to the U.S., it's not so much, even though you can see it on TV, hear it in the radio. It's not as vibrant, really, as it was in Africa.
So you really miss these festivities and holiday season in Africa.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just you and your family.
Right. Okay, maybe Nabil will tell us something different. Give us your experience in Sudan.
Well, Sudan. Well, yeah, that's where I spent most of my life.
Okay.
So the thing about the Eid, since we have two major Eids, actually.
Okay.
We have the Fitr that we do at the end of Ramadan after we've been fasting for a whole month. So we look forward to it for a whole month.
A whole month,
imagine. You can imagine the amount of drama, the preparations, the, you know, how big a deal this is. And there is the Adha, where we get to slaughter a sheep. Every household gets to slaughter a sheep. And it's also a huge deal because you eat lots of meat. Lots of meat.
And you know lamb meat, how sweet that
absolutely,
can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Soft and chewy.
Yes. What about camel? Do they slaughter camels as well?
Well, not traditionally, but yeah, it's there.
You
can slaughter a camel or a cow.
Have you tried a camel in Tangshaka?
No.
Oh, you better try it. Maybe Nabil can tell you how.
No, there's a market in Sudan, in Khartoum, called Suganaga. That's camel, you know.
What does a camel taste like?
Oh, sweet.
Is it chewy or hard?
It's very good.
Comparing to like beef, is it more like chicken or like beef?
Compared to beef, well, you have to cook it in a very particular way, otherwise you spoil it.
Mm.
Especially parts like the liver and all, you know.
And how long does it take to finish a whole camel?
Oh, no, it's not
maybe a whole month,
the whole village. You know?
I know.
It takes the whole village.
Right.
And it depends. Do you have the stamina to handle the whole meat?
Mm-hmm. So, but you know, the food is not like the major thing about it in Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the vibe. It's like everything that's in the air is like everyone is smiley. Everyone is happy. People forgive each other. relatives and family gather, and you know, there's lots of candy, cookies, kids are running around, you know, just everyone is just happy.
Wow.
And you get in the mood when you mingle with other people.
Right.
It's something that comes naturally. And actually, it's a tradition. All the festivities are infused with religious rituals.
Mm-hmm.
From morning, from dawn, when it starts, people go and pray.
They
come back, they prepare food, they receive guests. And something I should mention here, in Sudan, when you meet someone on Eid, whether a friend or even an enemy, there's something we say, al-afu wal-afiyah, means forgiveness. Like, I forgive you and you forgive me.
Wow.
Whatever, you know,
during
bad
season.
Blood. Yeah.
Mm.
And for good. It's not like after
season, go back to be
enemy.
But not at temporary.
Least,
yeah.
At least if I can't forgive you on that day, I'm going to be nice to you.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Wow.
So
that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Talk to me, Harrison Kamau, Super Harry.
Right. No. Well,
I know you're a party guy, so tell me, man, how you celebrate these things, man, in
just
Kenya and
it.
All that.
There's something I want to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at it is that we have different continents, but Africa is very unique.
Of course.
Because Africa is a very festive continent.
It is.
And
very large,
the
too.
The interesting thing about Africa is that everything that we do is crowned with festivities,
mm-hmm.
be it funerals, be it
can
weddings,
right.
circumcisions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Anything that happens in the village is crowned with some kind of a festival. We are a very festive community.
Oh, yes.
A continent of, you know, it's a very... it's a continent, you know, full of fun.
Right.
And when you talk about festivities in Africa, this reminds me about a lot to do with our roots. It's only when we have festivals that we remember where we come from, because
mm-hmm.
it gives you a sense of belonging.
Right.
And people, that's when you shed down whatever, you know, whether you're educated, wealthy or not. We come down to one level and we're just one family. And as my sister said, without food, there's no festival in Africa. It's really
lots of meat
lots
and
of meat.
Rice.
Just like you heard, you have a whole camel in Sudan taken down. Are you kidding
right.
me?
And I don't know camel. Why. I don't know why. Maybe you guys help me. Why don't we, you know, there's no festival in Africa where we don't have meat. I don't know what
no.
it is about,
oh, yeah.
you know,
oh, yeah.
with meat. But anyway, it reminds me about so many things, my childhood and the fun we used to have. And still the memories that I have even now are the memories that I had as a child. And actually, those are the days that I miss, when people would dance the whole night. And we had some relative security then. But I remember... we overfed, because the African culture dictates that you have to eat and eat more and eat more, and it is a disgrace when you refuse food, especially from an elder. I hope you guys remember that.
Yes,
you
yes,
eat
yes.
until you can't eat anymore.
They say you eat until you fall.
You cannot refuse food, you're right.
Yes.
Thank you so much. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-handed look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in Washington studio, with Oren Aisisi Tangi Shaka, Nabil Bayajo, and Harrison Kamau. Right now, we're discussing holidays in Africa. Well, some individuals, usually during these festivities or during the holiday season, is the time for drinking. I had a friend of mine, he was from the southern part of Africa, and he said, you know what we do? Drink and study. Drink and study. Because we were going to school, I'm like, okay, so what you do this time? I said, no, all we do is drink and study. I spoke to Denzel Musumba, and I wanted to know, how does Africa celebrate holidays in his part of town?
Shamari, I just want to say that, first of all, I feel so sad that I won't be home this holiday season. I just came from Kenya, so you can imagine traveling, going back there, back to Africa again is a hassle. But celebrating in Africa is something that really kind of brings our people together. You know, this is a time whereby those ones, family members may be working in big cities, different areas. That's the time they come back home. It's kind of like a unifying thing, because we end up celebrating, listening to our music, you know, enjoying our African food. It's a good thing. That's one thing I can tell you. If you compare America, for instance, and back in Africa, I think it's good to celebrate back home.
I know.
Really, really good. And also, Shabari, like for me, it's even my birthday, the same day, like for instance, Christmas Day. That's when I was born.
Oh,
so
really?
I can celebrate because everybody's celebrating Christmas.
Oh, lucky for you, my brother. Your celebration is all over the place. Everybody's celebrating during your time. That's unique. That's good. And you see, as you say, man, celebration, you find food, you find drinks of every kind. No celebration without food, right?
Exactly. And let me tell you, those are a time where people showcase, you know, new stuff that people maybe, they tend to use that celebration time to maybe get to a new home, you know, to bring a new car home back in the village, there's a celebration. So it's also a time that people tend to showcase or maybe to be proud of what they achieved the whole year long, you know?
Right.
If that's the time you find people who are working in the cities, maybe my wife gave birth in town in a big city. She has never been a kid home. That's the time. It's like a blessing. There's just a lot going on, you know? That's the time where you find schoolmates, you know? People who went to school together.
Right.
You know, it's long. So many years they've never met, but they end up meeting at home. They're like, oh, so-and-so is back. So it's a feeling that you don't want to miss.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the time you end up meeting your friends, meeting your neighbors, sitting in pubs together, you know? You just need to share stories, you know? Get to know what's going on within the region.
Everybody's updating with everybody. You've been away for so long, it's time to meet, rewind, and reunite. So it's just like a festive season, time to have a good time and fun, correct?
Exactly. And also it comes with consequences at times because that's the time that business is also booming.
Talk about
transportation in our countries whereby most people don't own cars, but I want to tell you there's nothing sweet like being home with your family members, your neighbors, your good friends. Just celebrate.
Thank you, Denzel Musumba. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing holidays in Africa. Okay, back to you guys in studio. Nabil, tell me about this. Maybe in Sudan you guys tell us something different, but I know people drink a lot. What is this about drinking, Itangishaka?
In my part of Africa, East Africa, well, there's a part of East Africa that is known for really for drinking.
For drinking, yeah.
Drinking is part of festivities, and, you know, a little booze to some people is a must in festivities. And some people say, no, you know, they need to stay conscious and see everything and experience every moment. But I see it. They go all out. I mean, they overdo it. I mean, and again, some people consider that as the festivities as an opportunity to just let it go and let it loose.
Yeah.
So you see that, you know, of course, the alcohol sales go up, but yeah, festivities and holidays, even though they are holidays, they just get toasted and they just drink too much. But, you know.
For some, it's an opportunity to get a free drink. Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me that drinking in Africa, I have seen, both worlds. I'm in America and I've seen how it goes in America. And it reminds me, in Africa, the actual traditional way of drinking and the significance of drinking. And I remember this old man saying that no wisdom comes without a drink. So
what?
I'm telling you. And I remember, during festivities, of course, they are used to have the main man who would talk, you know, in funerals too and any other big festivities. So what was to happen is that they would take a horn, you know, those there were no cups and mugs to drink alcohol, and they would swallow, you know, two or three horns, and the guy would just get wise. And the next thing, all the younger generation had to listen to him because there was a belief that this guy now has a higher understanding and a divine connection with the ancestors. And this guy was now full of wisdom. And you remember another thing, maybe you don't know. I'm not that old, but I know I'm knowledgeable. Before drinking, you had to pour some drops on the ground, bare ground, not on the cement. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about soil, so that you bless and get blessings too from your ancestors. So exactly. I think maybe this was a connection with the wisdom thing.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Nabil, what do you think about this?
Well,
have you seen this in Sudan happening a lot?
Well, in Sudan, like the northern, like North Sudan, Sudan proper, people don't drink. Well, they do drink alcohol, but not like openly as in other parts of Africa. They drink things like Coke, and they drink all kinds of juices and all. But there is one homemade drink that we consume on Eid al-Adha when we eat lots of meat. It's not really alcoholic, but it can be. It's fermented. They make it with dates and, you know, other ingredients. And if you ferment it for long enough, it can get you drunk. But about drinking in South Sudan, people of course drink alcohol. And on Christmas, for example, after they go to church, come back and eat. Still, South Sudan is not as open as other African countries. So drinking happens, men do it. And it's like they do it in the sitting room. And from the way it looks, as I remember from my childhood when I lived in South Sudan, it looks like some sort of private session where they sit and drink a homemade liquor. And you know,
and women are not allowed.
Exactly. Well, women can do
How
it,
do you
but,
know that, you
know,
exactly?
Because he said private session.
Yeah. You know, and kids are not even allowed to, you know, to be around.
This
and,
is a special moment. Yes.
Yeah. But now with the country has opened up to Kenya, Uganda after it's become independent, so they have imported lots of foreign you know, types of liquor and beers and all. I think it's a bit more open than it used to
than be. Than it used to be, okay. Yeah. Yes.
And something, Harrison, just before I forget, they used to say that a man can only watch a dance when he's not drunk, but he interprets the dance when he's drunk.
So really? Yes, what does that mean?
They say that once a man is drunk, now we are looking at the elders and now they are drinking and we have festivities. Earlier on, before they got drunk, they could only watch and see the dances literally. But once they drank, they said they had the power to interpret what the dance meant. Yeah. So the moves now were internalized and they would really love the dances, the dance moves. It's about the wisdom thing that men used to. But I also think there was the egoistic part of men believing that they had some higher authority and connection than other beings. Yeah, so I think
some
that's
truth to that.
Yes. So that's why they had some to take some beer while the rest of them, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's why that was the only separation point between men, women and children. Right?
Right.
So I think I think that's something I love about Africa.
I think Itangi Shaka will be so disappointed with that. I don't know about
this. You know, if they want to have private session and get drunk and until they're on the floor, I don't know if I want to be part of that. Some women will be like, yeah, I want to be part of that. No. So,
but
not, you know,
for you.
Nah, I think, you know, men want to be on, you know, in their own group, in their own corner and do their own thing. That's fine. I mean, you know, however
and women can be, and women can be on their own corner.
And
their
women
own
will
thing
be
too.
On our corner doing our own thing. I think we don't have to always be fighting to be together. We don't have to be fighting to be equal. I mean, I'm just not part of that train.
Hold it right there, Itangi Shaka. Thank you so much. And you're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back in a moment.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
And AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari. Okay, back to you guys in studio.
People should really remember what those festivities are about. If it's Eid, if it's Christmas, if it's, you know, for instance, for Christmas, remember what's the reason for the season. If it's Jesus, then, you know, you focus and your whole family focuses on that. Because otherwise, you lose track of what that festivity is about and you end up broke.
And I think that's
we
what
really
happens with Tangi Shaka.
Really
Everybody's having a lot of
it.
Fun without caring what it is.
Yeah, because, you know, everything
drink,
is being modernized. Eat. We look at TV. You want to dress exactly like we see on TV. You want to just go all out. But, you know, a lot of families are also struggling. And we have to remember them. If that's the season, the holiday season, then maybe it's a season we should be giving instead of just spending on ourselves.
Spending everything on our own.
Yes, me. So
okay,
yeah,
Tangi Shaka, I got you.
Yes, well, I think they've raised good points. The way these seasons have been commercialized, and I mean, it's okay to spend, you know, some extra money on your kids to buy them clothes and all, to spend generously. But when it becomes a competition and it becomes a pressure on the parents, actually, our neighbor on Eid al-Adha, where we slaughter, you have to slaughter
this whole
sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you can afford it. So it's become a shame if you can't. Mm-hmm. And I remember our neighbor used to, you know, take the whole family and go somewhere to another town all together and spend Eid with his grandma because he couldn't afford, you know, a sheep and he couldn't stay around. Without the sheep.
Exactly, that because the kids are going to feel bad and
exactly,
all that, and
yeah.
He doesn't want that to happen to
I understand that kids, like small kids, don't understand that, but adults should educate them and should, you know, teach them that it's not about clothes or food, you know.
Right.
It's about something more meaningful.
Than the food and the clothing and the music, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well said. Thank you so much. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of Voice of America, and we are discussing holidays in Africa. This is your turn, all our listeners out there. It is time to give us your input.
Africa, what we do is just we go to church, we pray for God, then after that the family will get together and drink and eat, and some members of the family who we didn't see them for years, we meet each other. Yeah, so it's kind of like we unite the family. In holiday, we normally stay home, drink, eat, love, chatty. That's what we do.
Thank you, listener. Let's Talk. That's the program you're tuned to. And our topic today is holiday seasons in Africa. It's time now for the unusual story of the week. And let's join Maya DeWitt.
A lost sheep was reunited with his owner after he had gone missing. The sheep, named Gage, apparently wandered off from his home and began walking around his area. Gage's owner doesn't know how he got loose because he's usually on a leash, but was able to track the sheep down using Facebook. Apparently, Gage had developed quite a following, which might have something to do with the red and green Christmas sweater he was found wearing. Gage was found by the local Humane Society, who returned him to his owner. Happy holidays for all indeed. I'm Maya Dawit, and that's your unusual story of the week.
Thanks, Maya. And that's it for our show on holiday festivities in Africa. A big thank you to my guest, Harrison Kamau, Nabil Bayajo.
Thank you, Sandy.
And of course, Orini Tangishaka.
Yes.
And Jackson Vunganyi is our producer. And as usual, send in your comments and story ideas. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942 and leave us a voicemail message. The number again, 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be nightlife in Africa. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Nino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth.
As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.